Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Friday, April 26th, is the feast of St. Cletus, Pope and Martyr. And these are today's headlines. Haiti's Prime Minister steps down amid continuing unrest throughout the country. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says the number of children killed in Ukraine has risen dramatically, and Israeli forces are expected to begin evacuations from Rafah ahead of an anticipated ground assault. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. A 9-person transitional council has taken power in Haiti following the resignation of ex-Prime Minister Ariel Henry. However, violent gangs continue to terrorize the Caribbean nation, as Joseph Tulloch reports.
A 9-person transitional council took power in a ceremony in Haiti on Thursday as the Caribbean nation seeks to establish security after years of gang violence. Ex-Finance Minister Michel Patrick Boisvert will be the interim PM until the transitional council appoints a new head of government. After being sworn in a low-profile ceremony in order to prevent gang attacks, Boisvert addressed the gathered government officials. Haiti, our country, is at a crossroads in the search for solutions to overcome this multidimensional political crisis. The consequences of this crisis are detrimental to property and to both public and private infrastructure. Even as the council was sworn in, local media reported houses being set on fire and shooting in the capital's downtown and Delmas areas. Armed gangs equipped with weapons trafficked largely from the United States have for years tightened their grip on the capital and sought to topple the government. In a statement last month, the bishops of Haiti had said that they would not join this transitional council. However, they said, "We hope that the ongoing talks will lead to a truly inclusive and lasting patriotic agreement in the interests of all the Haitian people." The nomination of the transitional council had been delayed by infighting as group leaders bickered over potential candidates. Pope Francis has often appealed for peace in the troubled Caribbean nation. These were his words during his Easter Urbi et Orbi address for this year. May the risen Lord assist the Haitian people so that there might soon be an end to the acts of violence, devastation and bloodshed in that country, and that it might advance on the path for democracy and fraternity. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
The Inter-American Commission on Human Rights has invited the government of Nicaragua, led by Daniel Ortega, to promote dialogue with civil society to overcome the human rights crisis that the Central American country has been experiencing since April 2018. Nicaragua, according to the IACHR, has committed acts of state repression that may constitute crimes against humanity, such as murder, deprivation of liberty, persecution, rape, torture, and forced disappearances. In its 40-page annual report on the country, the IACHR calls on Ortega to take the necessary measures to restore democratic institutions, the full validity of the rule of law and fundamental freedoms, including the freedom of expression. The verified number of children killed in Russian attacks across Ukraine has increased dramatically this year compared to 2023 as deadly strikes continue. As Linda Bardoni reports, the quality of life of Ukrainian children is also increasingly compromised as infrastructure such as homes, schools, and healthcare facilities continue to be damaged or destroyed.
The youngest child to die in the war in Ukraine this year so far was just 2 months old. He was the tiniest of the 25 young victims of Russian attacks between January and March 2024. According to a just-released report by UNICEF, the UN's Children's Fund, those tragic numbers point to an increase of nearly 40% in child deaths compared to last year. And 9 more children were reportedly killed in attacks during the first 3 weeks of April. Concluding a visit to the war-torn country, UNICEF's Regional Director for Europe and Central Asia also denounced the deterioration in the quality of life of Ukrainian children and said nowhere is safe for them. As deadly attacks continue, children and their families are forced to endure yet more loss and destruction, Regina De Dominici said, highlighting strikes on schools, health facilities and residential buildings. Pope Francis, who never tires of appealing for peace in Ukraine, has repeatedly voiced his closeness to its children, noting that they have lost their capacity to smile. This, he says, is very serious. According to official UN data, at least 600 children have been killed in attacks since the escalation of the war in 2022, and more than 1,350 children have been injured, although the true numbers are most probably much higher. I'm Linda Bordoni.
A baby girl who was delivered from her dying mother's womb in a Gaza hospital following an Israeli airstrike has herself died after just a few days of life, according to the doctor who was caring for her. The baby had been named Sabrine Al-Rua. The second name means soul in Arabic. Her mother, Sabrine Al-Sakani, was seriously injured when the Israeli strike hit the family home in Rafah, the southernmost city in the besieged Gaza Strip, on Saturday night. More than 34,000 Palestinians, many of them women and children, have been killed in the six-month-old war in Gaza between Israel and Hamas militants. That's according to the Gaza Health Ministry. Israel denies deliberately targeting civilians in its campaign to eradicate Hamas. With an anticipated ground attack on Rafah looming, Israel media suggests Israel is expected to begin evacuating civilians from the city. Nathan Morley has the latest.
According to Can TV, the evacuation will start soon, pending final approval by the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The United Nations has cautioned that any ground operation in Rafah would have shattering consequences for civilians. Last month, Netanyahu approved plans to move into Rafah. However, a final execution order has not been issued. The city was, until recently, viewed as a safe zone from the Israeli bombings and houses around 1.3 million displaced Palestinians. The Israeli War Cabinet discussed a possible assault on Rafah on Thursday, with reports suggesting Israeli troops are ready for any eventual action. Elsewhere, the construction of a floating jetty off Gaza's shore is currently underway. It will be the delivery point for essential aid shipped to the enclave by sea. The Israeli military will provide security and logistics support for the initiative, which is expected to create an enhanced ship-to-shore distribution system to increase the flow of humanitarian aid to the territory. The plan is for ships to deliver aid from Cyprus to the jetty, where it will be offloaded onto lorries and distributed across Gaza. On the aid front, the Jordanian military has performed six new airdrops of humanitarian aid to the north of Gaza. The number of similar missions carried out by Jordan since the start of the conflict has now reached 88, with another 214 airdrops conducted in cooperation with other countries. Earlier this week, Jordan also dispatched a new convoy of food aid to the people of Gaza in partnership with the World Food Programme. The convoy, consisting of 115 trucks carrying emergency food aid, was sent through the King Hussein Bridge to the Karam Abu Salem crossing. From there, it will be delivered to people in Gaza and distributed through partner associations and organizations within the Strip. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Tanzanian Prime Minister Majaliwa has reported grim impact of heavy rains in his country, with the death toll currently at 155 lives lost. The government has called for evacuations amid fears of continued rainfall, as neighboring countries also face similar crises due to the El Niño exacerbated weather. Francesca Merlo has this report.
With the death toll reaching at least 155 and fears of continued rainfall into May, Tanzanian Prime Minister has urged residents in flood-prone areas to evacuate for safety. The situation is dire, with over 200,000 individuals and 51,000 households already affected by the deluge. In neighbouring Kenya and Burundi, similar catastrophes are unfolding, making the humanitarian crisis a regional one. Presenting a report to Tanzania's parliament, Prime Minister Majaliwa highlighted the extensive toll since January. In addition to the lives lost, 236 people have been injured with widespread destruction of property, crops and critical infrastructure like roads and bridges. The devastation is also recounted by the residents suffering the rainfall. In Tanzania's northern Siha district, people have been left completely homeless and all their belongings have been wiped away by the rain. In Kenya, President William Ruto has mobilized the military to aid in rescue efforts as relentless rains wreak havoc across the nation. Nairobi, the capital, has not been spared and slum areas have witnessed homes being swept away along with all their essential belongings. The death toll in Kenya has climbed to over 45 since March, according to the Red Cross. In Burundi, nearly 100,000 people have been displaced by the unrelenting downpour. Weather experts attribute the relentless rains to the Indian Ocean dipole, often dubbed the Indian Niño, due to its similarity with a Pacific phenomenon. The IOD signifies temperature disparities in different parts of the Indian Ocean, fueling the intense weather patterns gripping the region. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Finally, the number of people fighting hunger and suffering from malnutrition is continuing to grow at an alarming pace worldwide. A report released this week by the UN-backed Global Network Against Food Crises says that in 2023, nearly 282 million people faced high levels of acute food insecurity, requiring urgent assistance. Commenting on the report's findings, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called for an urgent response to address the underlying causes of hunger and malnutrition, and lamented that funding is also not keeping pace with the needs. Lisa Zangarini has this report.
According to the Global Report on Food Crisis, 2023 has seen a further increase of 24 million people experiencing an acute lack of food from 2022, with war-torn Gaza and Sudan hosting the largest number of people facing famine. Sudan experienced a significant deterioration in food security following the April 2023 conflict, with an additional 8.6 million people facing high levels of acute food insecurity as compared to the pre-conflict period. On a five-level hunger scale, the report classifies the entire population of Gaza at crisis level, and 50% is projected in a state of catastrophe as from March this year. Overall, 705,000 people in five countries are classified at phase 5, the highest number since the global report began in 2016. Over 80% of those facing imminent famine were in Gaza. South Sudan, Burkina Faso, Somalia, Mali each host many thousands also facing catastrophic hunger. According to the UN-backed report, the 10 countries with the world's largest food crisis in 2023 were the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Nigeria, Sudan, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Yemen, Syria, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Myanmar. Natural disasters and weather extremes and economic shock are other crucial drivers of food insecurity, which is also related to factors of structural vulnerability. Areas with high levels of acute food insecurity often tend to have high levels of acute malnutrition. When combined, these create a heavy burden to the development and well-being of populations, especially children. I am Lisa Zengarini.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks to our technicians in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.